We welcome our guest, Judy Cheeks, to the Gospel Spotlight. Judy, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
I am doing great.
Oh, wow.
Are you excited about your latest project?
I am so excited. It's unbelievable. It's a miracle
okay.
that I'm even doing it. And it's really God, I tell you. This is really, I feel that this is what he wants me to do. And I don't know why it took me this long to actually do it, to do a gospel album, but it feels so wonderful to do it. It really, really does.
Judy, you could have done a lot of other things. Why do a gospel album?
Well, you know, first of all, I come from a totally gospel background. My father was Reverend Julius Cheeks from the Sensational Nightingales. A lot of the quartet groups who were around, you know, back in the day, they called it the golden age of gospel, when my dad, the Soul Stirrers and Dixie Hummingbirds and all these groups were quite popular. Their music has influenced every genre of music that's out today, and they have no recognition, they have no honor, you know, nobody knows of them. So I started writing a book about not only my father, but the contributions of other quartet gospel singers who never, you know, got the exposure. And in doing so, somehow, you know, like tracing back my father's life and how he decided to sing gospel and how, you know, his father influenced him and whatever. I don't know, it just hit me, you know, that I really should do, you know, because I thought I had given up singing. I thought, okay, I've done Europe, I've done the world, I'm tired, I don't want to sing anymore. I just write this book and I'm done. But when I started writing a book about my dad, I just felt compelled to carry on where he left off, you know, in a sense that I felt that his songs were prayers for my life, you know, and he paved the road not only for other singers or performers, but also for me. To go and, you know, and carry on. And also my own life journey, you know, like God has always been the center of my life, but like, you know, all the experiences I've been through and everything, I just, you know, the lyrics of one of my songs says, you know, everything I've done has brought me to this place, down on my knees, thankful for your mercy and your grace. It's like my life has brought me to a place where I have to sing joy. I have to sing about the love of God, because it's what has sustained me all through my life. And it's something that I feel that I was meant to share with the world. And you know, perhaps if I'd done this album 10 years ago, it wouldn't feel the same, because I've, you know, the 10 years I've lived since then, you know, they've equipped me with the heart and the spirit to do this kind of album, to write these kind of lyrics, and to have that energy and that power to come up through me. So it's a now album.
Okay.
You know, I talk a lot, huh?
It's all right, Judy. The question is, how much pressure, and it doesn't seem like it was really pressure on you, by having a famous father, the Reverend Julius Cheeks?
To be honest, I think that affected my initial decision not to sing gospel, because my father was known as, you know, one of the most powerful lead singers of you know, gospel music in the time. And you're going to always be compared, you know. You know, like, even when I meet people now, my dad's been dead a long time, and people come to me, "Ooh, you Reverend Julius Cheeks, I know you can sing." You know? And I'm like, not necessarily so. Because I have a sister who can't even hum a lick, you know.
Oh, wow.
You know, I think there probably was some pressure there. And then I was his little girl, and he protected me, and he didn't really want me to sing. I think he just wanted to protect me from, you know, what the business is like. You know, I was precious to him. But then he was the kind of father who, his answer to everything was, "If you like it, I love it." You know, and he and I had a way of communicating and everything, but I took his lack of encouragement to go into the music business as a rejection, or as me thinking, well, maybe I'm not good enough, you know, because he would take my cousin Genobia Jeter out to sing with him, and you know all of his nieces and stuff, and you know, leave me, Judith, no, you stay home, you know. So he was really protecting me, but I think he knew that there was a calling on my life. Just like when I was writing a book about him, his father knew that there was a calling on his life, and it's something that you kind of know in your spirit. You know, it's something that you never discuss, but you know it. And we had this telepathic almost relationship. We would sit in a room together and not say a word, but we felt each other. And I think, you know, when I talk to JoJo Wallace, who's a guitar, still today the lead guitarist for the Sensational Nightingales, you know, he opened my eyes to a lot of how Daddy felt at that time, because, you know, they were, you know, quartet groups are like brothers. They're very, very close. I mean, they share things with each other that they don't share with their own families, you know. Mm-hmm. And he told me, he said, you know, you are so much like your father. When you were born, your father looked at you and just saw himself and absolutely adored you from day one. And he knew, you know, what it would take for a female in the music business. He didn't want you to go through that, but he knew that he had to protect you from certain things, but he knew that you had a calling on your life. And JoJo and I, you know, even before, you know, because I've been living in Europe for many years, and I used to call JoJo from Europe and stuff, especially when I was doing research for the book. And, you know, he said to me, he said, you know, it's like, he said, Judy, I know that God is about to do something really mightiful in your life, something really big. He said, and I said, well, JoJo is not singing. I don't want to sing anymore. I'm done with that. And he said, well, I don't know what it is, but I tell you, praise God, I sure hope I'm here to see it.
Oh,
you know?
Wow.
And so now when, you know, and I just sent him copies of the single, and he said, I'm so proud of you, you know. And he said, I know your father is proud, because he knew that this is what you were put here to do. He knew that, you know. And I guess that was wisdom, that he didn't sit down and say, you know what, when you get old, you're going to do a gospel album. You're going to sing for the Lord, you know. And then a conversation I had with Joe Lagan, you know, I went to see one of his shows, and we were in the green room, and we were laughing and talking about the old days and everything. And I was walking him to the stage as he was about to perform, and he said to me, he said, I said, Joe, I said, do you still love it? Do you still love doing this? He said, Judy, put it this way, if they ever told me I couldn't do this, you can dig a hole and just put me in it, because I would be finished. And I looked at him, and I felt really, really sad, and I said, Joe, I never felt that way, never, you know. He said, well, that's because you didn't sing gospel. He said, if you were singing gospel, you would know what I'm talking about. And I tell you no lie, when I got in the studio to record this album, just singing the word Jesus, just singing about the love of God, it is so different. I mean, there were times when I looked at my producer, Mike, and I said, do you feel that? It's like, it was almost like a bolt of lightning hitting that studio, because it is totally different. I so got what Joe was talking about, you know. And then I say to my friends, and they say, oh, don't say that. But I say, you know, if I die today or tomorrow, I can feel better now. There is a sense of, you know, this is what I was here, put here to do, and I'm okay, you know. It is well with my soul now, because I've done this. And this is all I want to sing now. I don't want to sing pop. I just feel I have to sing about the love of God, you know. I'm talking too much.
No, you're not, Judy. Everything's good. Speaking of talking, I'm going to put you to work talking again, because we're going to talk about Happy. Tell us about that.
Oh, okay, Happy. Well, you know, it's so strong in my heart, you know, like the love that God has for us. You know, I mean, the lyrics really came, I so believe the lyrics in that song, you know, about how people look at other people, you know, we judge people. We don't love on people. We kind of judge, you know, and I say in the song, don't judge what you don't understand. God loves his children, and he wants you to understand his plan. You know, it's like, it's not my job to judge what you do in your life. It's my job to love you, okay? Because when I receive the love of God that fills me up and makes me happy, when you see me, that's what you're supposed to see. you know, you're not supposed to see me point my finger. You know, Jesus said, you know, before you remove the speck of dust from your neighbor's, I remove the log from your own. And that is just like, that's my mantra, you know. It's like, I can't judge anybody's choices, you know, but I can love them because that's what Jesus said. If you don't do anything else, love, you know, love your neighbor like yourself, you know. And so I just felt compelled to say that in the song. And also for people who, you know, may be in a situation, we don't know where anybody is on their journey in their life. You know, I mean, people could be right on the edge. We don't know that. If they are on the edge, you know, they need love and they need compassion. They don't need us to say, well, you know what, you shouldn't be doing that. You know, they need love and compassion. All the people who Jesus blessed and healed and fed, you know, he didn't discriminate, you know. When he met the woman at the well, he wasn't even supposed to talk to her. But he gave her water, you know, life-giving water, you know. So he never really kind of said, well, I can't heal you because you're not really walking upright, you know. You know, I can't feed you because, you know, you look at what you did last night. He didn't do that, did he? Did he do that anywhere in the Bible?
No.
So that's the whole message of Happy. I don't know if you've seen the video, but you know, that's what I wanted. I didn't want a glamorous video. I didn't want to be dressed to the nines. I really wanted to get to the nitty gritty of what we as Christians, you know, have been put here to do. You know, spread God's love. You know, we turn people away from God when we judge them and make them feel they're not good enough. That goes against the whole message of Christianity to me, you know, and the whole message of love. You know, love just doesn't clam up and say, well, I'm going to choose who I love. No, that's not how I think it is anyway. What do you think?
Hey, Judy.
What do you think? Come on, what do you think?
Judy, I am in agreement with you. Because love, that runs all through the Bible. That's what God is all about. That's what Jesus is all about.
Absolutely.
Love.
Absolutely.
That's the message that runs throughout the Bible.
Yes.
Judy, I've never had a guest ask me questions. This is great.
Well, I didn't want to make you feel left out because I'm running like a speed train. I'm not letting you get any words in.
Well,
so it's your show. I don't want you to feel, you know, unloved.
Well, Judy, it's okay. And now I do know you are Reverend Julius Cheek's daughter.